Thank you so much for joining us for Spirit, the stimulating program initiative for retirees that inspires thought. I'm Judy Steinig, Senior Director of the OU's Department of Community Projects and Partnerships and Coordinator and Host for Spirit. The OU started Spirit several years ago as an on-site program, and now we're happy to present it as an online program for retirees, not yet retirees, baby boomers, empty nesters, sandwich generation parents and seniors, everyone who's looking for educational, intellectual, and spiritual growth. Now, and since the beginning of the pandemic, Spirit continues to be the safe and ideal way for everyone to connect and learn together in a virtual setting. Today's program deals with hearing loss, a situation that is so common to many of our Spirit demographic. We are happy to welcome Yael Zellinger, Disability and Inclusion Associate and the Coordinator of JADE, Jewish Advocates for Deaf Education, and Martha Goodman, Spokesperson for Maryland Relay, which assists people who are deaf or hard of hearing with communication. Their full bios are on the Spirit website and in the emails you have been receiving for this program. I want to give a shout out to my colleague Avrami Adler, International Director of Yachad, the OU's program dedicated to enriching the lives of Jewish individuals with disabilities and their families. Avrami made the shidduch for Spirit for today's program, so we appreciate that very much. At this time, it is my pleasure to turn the Spirit Forum over to Yael Zellinger and Martha Goodman. Thank you, everyone, for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you so much. It's so exciting to be here in front of this prestigious audience. Before we do anything, I want to inform everybody of the ability to put on captions on Zoom. If you hover your mouse over the lower end of your screen, there's a rectangle that says CC and live transcript, if it looks like my screen. And if you click on that, we have enabled captions, and you can choose from the three-part menu to show subtitles. And then you'll have closed captions running that are automatically generated along the bottom of your screen. And there are subtitle settings. That's the third option in that menu where you can adjust the size and the color of the caption. And I encourage you to do this on all your Zoom calls to make them more accessible if anyone is struggling with any type of hearing loss. So Martha and I come to you from the Center for Jewish Education here in Baltimore. We work closely together, as you can see, we're back to back. Most of what I'm gonna tell you is nothing brilliant. It's common sense once you've heard it one time. What Martha will share the latter part of the presentation is some tremendous resources, real gems of accommodations and workarounds that you may not have known and we may never know unless she had done the research, a tremendous amount of research, especially since COVID and so many things on Zoom. And we have a handout about that at the end. So you don't have to memorize everything that we're talking about. And I want to just acknowledge OU for bringing us on. We've had the privilege of working with the Orthodox Union on a few initiatives, specifically through Our Way, Yachad Our Way with Rabbi Adler, Mrs. Jacobs, Rabbi Lederfriend, running programs like the Deafblind Shabbaton every 2 years. We've been working together on getting the OU's, especially the Tisha B'Av program, captioned and interpreted in ASL and sharing other resources around interpreters and captioning. So imagine that a giant hand would come out of the ceiling and pluck you out of your seat and drop you in Spain. You may be very bright, very tech savvy, witty, a great gardener, a great negotiator. What's going to be your biggest challenge now coming into a new country and having to set up your life in a new country? It's going to be communication, right? Unless you're really fluent in Spanish, your biggest trouble is going to be communication. And because I love sign language, I'm just throwing it in. This is the sign for communication, the back and forth flow of information. What do you think this is? This is a miscommunication or a lack of communication. And when a person with hearing loss, I'd like to use that analogy because a person with hearing loss has all their other faculties, could be working and could be stellar. But when you can't hear what's going on, it's hard to have that communication. It might be hard to negotiate rent on a new apartment, or even finding your favorite yogurt in the grocery store. So I hope to share some good communication skills that can be helpful at home and wherever you're going, but whether you yourself are losing your hearing, which is a natural progression with age after age 45, and or whether you're caring for somebody with a hearing loss. I'm going to share my screen briefly. So the title of my talk is always, and I've given this talk a lot of places, the JCC, Jewish Vocational Services, the nursing home here, Jewish Museum of Maryland, is always how to communicate with people who are deaf or hard of hearing without feeling awkward. And that's the sign for awkward. The key here is to try to get to optimal communication. Let's see how to share, how to get to the next slide. Okay, so what I always call number one is to getting someone's attention, some appropriate ways of getting somebody's attention. When you're calling somebody and they don't hear you, right? Some appropriate ways to get their attention are to wave, try to get into their field of vision so that you can wave and they see something moving. And it's a natural instinct to then turn around and see. Or to tap someone on the shoulder. You know, typically this is not, believe it or not, my mother's on the call here for emotional support. And as close as we are, I don't remember the last time I tapped my mother on the shoulder. But when you want to get someone's attention, it's appropriate to tap someone on the shoulder. Sometimes you can stamp on the floor, and this is something you'll have to establish in your own home or environment. In the deaf world, that's very acceptable. But some that when the floor vibrates, another person can feel it, and sometimes that will jar them to turn around and see who's calling. Come closer is the ideal way to get someone's attention. And sometimes in a group, to flicker the lights so that they know. But the key is not to yell. Nobody likes to be yelled at. So the key is if you can use any of these other techniques for getting someone's attention, it's always more appreciated than the yelling technique. The most important slide today is this one, which is for good communication skills to face the person you're talking to. That means your toes are facing in the direction of the person you're talking to, because if someone is reading your face and reading your lips and you turn around, you have essentially turned off the screen and turned off the sound, and they will not understand what you're talking about. So a person is reading your face, reading your lips. You don't want to cover your mouth. You don't want your hair in your way. You don't want to be chewing gum. For optimal communication, you want to make sure that your face and your mouth are very visible. And you want to speak a little bit slower and a little bit more clearly. This is not helpful. So over-enunciating is not natural, and nobody will understand these lip movements. But if you speak a little bit slower and a little bit more clearly than usual, someone else with the hearing loss or without, will have an easier time understanding what you're trying to say. Another technique for optimal communication skills is to use gestures. I love to use my hands. I'm a sign language user. Not everybody does, but if you can use your hands to express what you want to say, if something's big or small, facial expression, are you being serious or are you being sarcastic? Your whole body language, right? This is not happy, right? If you're showing happiness, if you want to convey a good message, then you want your body language and anything visual to convey that. So if you want to say to someone, I'm sorry, the doctor is not in. So if I'm nodding my head and saying no, the person is going to naturally read the visuals before they read what they're hearing, especially if they're not sure what they're hearing. So I was once at a manicurist, and I was watching the screen where they were promoting a medicine that is not completely tested, and they were reading off all the possible side effects, terrible side effects that could have. But while they were playing that, you saw a couple gardening in a sunny garden with rabbits hopping by. And I realized that they're using this technique. They're showing you happy visions and happy visuals while they're reading all these really scary possible side effects, because people read the visuals much more quickly than they do, and they believe the visuals much more quickly than they do what they're hearing. Again, especially if you're not sure what you're hearing. So if you're talking about setting up an appointment, you might want to use a calendar and point. If you're showing somebody where the bathroom is, you might want to point to that, or point to the clock, point to your watch. Try to use anything visual, anything. If you're talking about the orange juice on the table, pick up the jar, pick up the bottle and say, you know, the orange juice is really good this morning. Anything you can do to make your message visible, make visual, is that much more helpful in facilitating the conversation. And this is what I was saying before, is that if you're saying a happy message or a serious message, your body language has to mirror that. Otherwise, it's a conflicting message, right? Jenny is flunking out in school today. And we called you here because, you know, we don't know what to do. So my face is saying I'm happy and my message is saying not. Again, we have to match that together. If you're being sarcastic, if you're asking a question, you want to make sure that your body language is matching and your facial expression match what you're trying to say. I always say that it's important if you just say, when somebody's talking, even if you didn't understand what they were saying, it may sound like you're avoiding an awkward situation. But what you're essentially saying is, I don't really care what you said, I just want to get through this conversation. So if someone says, my great aunt's dog died, and you say, oh, really? Isn't that nice? There's a breakdown in communication. So rather ask somebody, I'm sorry, I didn't catch what you said. Can you repeat that? Even multiple times, because that means I really care what you said. I'm not just trying to get through this conversation. And I think this comes up a lot with people as they age. And then there's sometimes when you keep repeating it and it's not working. It might be the intonation. Can you get me seltzer from the refrigerator? And maybe some of those syllables are getting lost in the way I word them. And if you can rephrase what you're saying, then the person might better understand what you're saying. So one is to repeat it, but don't keep saying it the same way or in the same intonation. You want to try to rephrase it in a different way so that the person has a better chance of understanding what you said. Maybe the word seltzer they didn't get through, or maybe the from got lost when I went down my intonation. If it's anything important, a phone number, a date, something you really want to make sure, name of a medication, it's very helpful to write it down or use texting that, to make sure that you have exact numbers. You can't be off by a number or by a dot, we all know. So any important information, it's always helpful to write down. Sometimes you're talking to a person and they're trying to grasp the words that you're saying, right? And you say, we're all in the same boat. Maybe they got the word boat. So now they think we're talking about a boat. Okay, where's the boat? Oh, we live near the harbor. Maybe they're talking about their harbor and their mind is going to the harbor. Meanwhile, you're talking about a conversation you had with your daughter and you're saying, you know, we're all in the same boat. So sometimes idioms can get in the way of communication skills. And the 10th tip that I have for when you're communicating with somebody with a hearing loss is to be careful in a group setting to make sure that only one person speaks at a time. Because the most frustrating thing is to be in a group, you're around the Shabbos table, you're around the Yontif table, and the conversation is flowing fast and furious. And you can't follow because by the time you finish, you thought that Hani was talking and now Shlomi is talking, but you didn't realize because you didn't hear Shlomi talking, or the person in question didn't realize. By the time they turn to Shlomi, it's on to Leah. So it's very helpful for a person with a hearing loss in the group. It's very helpful if everyone else makes sure that they only have one person at a time speaking. I know a friend who made up a t-shirt. So when she goes to her Hanukkah party with her children and grandchildren, she wears this t-shirt that says one person at a time, or I can't hear you, something like that. Or somebody I know who put a table tent on the table that says one person at a time, or please speak slowly, just to remind everybody of this dynamic that it would be really helpful to me if you take turns talking and let me know who's the next one. Where should I shift my eyes? Because so much of my communication is going to be about what I see. I know one woman who has trouble when she's walking with her husband and the fellow behind her is ringing on the bike, ringing his bell on the bike that he has to pass. And she wants to make up a t-shirt. I don't think she's done it, but she told, I can't hear you, something on her back, so that they're ringing their bike and they shouldn't be frustrated that she's not moving over to the side in the walking slash bike lane. Another tip that I didn't have on here, I forgot to mention, is if I myself feel that my hearing is going, when I hear somebody speaking, if someone calling my name, stop what I'm doing. This happens to me all the time. My kids will call me from the playroom, which is adjacent to my kitchen. Well, I would love if they would come into the kitchen and come talk to me. It doesn't always happen. But if I'm washing the dishes, I can't hear what they're saying. So it's on me to shut the water. Once I hear, Ma, shut the water and say, yes, Maydala, what can I do for you? Or how can I help you? Or please come to the kitchen so that I don't have the background noise. And in general, background noise, you want to avoid to make sure that you are hearing optimally. And I can concentrate on hearing what she's saying. I don't have the blur of the noise. I'm not thinking about the dishes. I'm just concentrating on what she's saying, even if I can't hear her. So I think that's really key, is to, when you hear your name being called, stop what you're doing for a second and concentrate on what's being said. Another point that I forgot to mention is lighting. If you're trying to have a conversation in a dark parking lot with someone who has a hearing loss, it's gonna be rough. So it's helpful if you make sure you have that conversation in a place with good lighting. Sometimes a glare from the window could be bothering somebody. You're standing in front of the window and they're looking at you this way and they can't make out what you're saying because of the glare. So it's nice to be sensitive to the other person and make sure that the lighting is appropriate for them. And this slide goes back to what I was saying before. If you really care about the person and what they want to say, you'll make this effort to have clear communication. If it's shutting off the water when you're talking, going into the room, asking them to repeat, taking turns speaking, facing the person, not covering your mouth, not having a hairstyle that covers your mouth. It all makes it worth the effort because and shows the other person that you really care. I am pretty much done with my presentation and would turn it over to Martha unless we want to take some questions on this part of the presentation. Oh, I see an audiologist proposed what I did about the lighting. Thank you. That it's important that the light source is not glaring. Thank you. Ooh, great point. Somebody brought up the fact that with Corona, we have a lot of people were wearing facial masks and some people still do. And it's very hard to read people's facial expression. It's harder to hear because it's muffled and it's hard to lip read. And it's a real struggle. There are clear face masks. When I was teaching and had to wear a mask, I wore this. It's hard to breathe behind it, but if it's short, and then different versions of clear masks or face shields, if you have to wear some, if you're in a place where you have to wear it to get a clear mask so that you, at least your face and your smile can be seen. It's a good point. Anybody else have a question that you want to send in? Somebody else said that they teach ASL to other youth groups. I think it's fabulous. I always promote ASL for all my children and grandchildren, anyone with babies. It's a great skill to teach babies because it's easier to learn sign language than to speak. So before children learn how to articulate and all the muscles that go into formulating a word, they can easily learn more. So instead of just crying at the end of a meal, if they can sign more and you know they just want more or milk, or cookie, then they can already communicate with you and say what they need instead of just melting down into a crying fit. So ASL comes in really handy that way. Hi, Joan. Will we talk about how to understand people who are deaf, how to understand their speech? That comes with getting to know a person and practice. There's nothing, there's no skill to learning how to understand deaf speech, other than when the more you talk to that person, you'll get to understand their speech. Does that make sense? Yeah. Someone asked, wouldn't these techniques also apply to enhanced communications with elderly with hearing loss and dementia? Yes, absolutely. We're talking about anybody with a hearing loss, not just completely deaf audiences, but anyone with any type of hearing loss, mild to profound. And dementia, I can't talk to dementia. It's not my field of expertise, but I would imagine that any of these communication skills would help with communication, with whether it's hearing loss or dementia. Oh, thank you for that question. Have I been able to share this information with healthcare providers? So I did get invited to Levendale, which is a huge nursing home here, and spoke for some of their staff. Other than that, I have not had that opportunity much. I really should put more effort into it. You're right. Many people with hearing loss should learn these communication skills too. It's true. Maybe I have to reach out more to the nursing homes. We tried it once or twice, but maybe I have to work harder. But we have gone to the Jewish Museum of Maryland, to the JCC, to the Jewish Vocational Service, anyone who might interact with people who are deaf or hard of hearing, so that the staff could be more accommodating. I'll copy down the email address of the person who said they could use more help with that. I'd be happy to be in touch with you. And there is a handout that will be going out afterward. And hopefully that will help you keep track of what I mentioned. Another question came in. If someone has trouble understanding an aunt and uncle who are profoundly deaf, and I've known all my life and visit once a week, I ask them to write, but my aunt doesn't like to write because of arthritis. That is tough. Maybe we can have a conversation about that. I'm not sure exactly where the breakdown is in that conversation, but you're welcome to call me. I'll put my email address in the chat box, but also the handout that I'm giving out has my email address and phone number. Anyone else before we turn it over to Martha? Anything on this aspect? Okay. If you have to think of any questions at the end, we'll both be here, happy to talk to you. Thank you so much for your attention. Martha, it's all yours.
Thanks, Yael. Well, it's really a pleasure to be with you this morning and share with you some of the technologies and other tricks that we've uncovered, particularly during COVID. We have a lot of resources to share with you. And as Yael said, they will be going out to you, including our accessibility document. Yeah, I'm going to share my screen. And the first thing that you might notice is that this is a PowerPoint presentation and my comments are being captioned by PowerPoint at the bottom of the screen. So this may be a little confusing for those of you who are watching the captions provided within this conference call. You might want to turn those off while we have the PowerPoint up, and I will be keeping it up until the end. So really what we want to talk about is using technology to connect. So let's see, what are some of the challenges that you might experience? Okay, you may be familiar with the relay system. In the United States, every state is required to have an accessible communication agency, and they're charged with providing service that is functionally equivalent to that available to hearing consumers. So you might be familiar with the relay system where a deaf person and a hearing person communicate through the relay system using an operator in between. Go ahead, go ahead. there's much more to the relay system than simply those communication assistance. First of all, the relay system can offer for free captioned telephones and all sorts of other equipment, including tablets and other technology to support communication. So I urge you to come to contact the relay system in your area. One valuable feature that they offer in some states is what's called remote conference captioning. And they will provide, with notice, a live captionist in your conference phone call. So for example, we could have invited a live captionist to be in one of our little Zoom boxes with us today. And they would have typed what we are saying and marked each speaker individually. We didn't feel that was necessary for us today, but that is something available in some states. Generally, it's offered by Hamilton Relay. There are different contractors in different states providing the relay services. In about 14 states, it's Hamilton Relay, and in many of the Hamilton Relay states, they do have this RCC offering, and that, again, is free. If you are a person who needs captions, you can organize it with them. If you are someone organizing an event on a virtual platform like Zoom or Google Meet or other similar platforms, you can contact the relay system in your state, see if they offer RCC, and they will, again, for free, add a live captionist to your phone calls. Some other tools and apps. Someone asked Yael about someone for whom it's difficult to write. So a natural thing to try for them perhaps might be speech to text, if their speech is clear enough for that. And this area of technology is experiencing a boom, particularly fueled by the COVID pandemic, when there are so many online programs. But a few things that are easy for you to access and can be free for either permanently or for the first period of your usage. We already said this PowerPoint presentation is being captioned by the software itself, but also LiveScribe, which you can download on your Android phone, or otter.ai, and that's available on phones and on websites, so you can use it on your PC. And both of those are really quite accurate. Not accurate enough to be recognized by the federal government. Federal agencies still need to use a human transcriptionist for the most part, but they are getting better and better all the time. Some other tools that you might want to think about when you go to a theater, either a movie theater or a live presentation theater, to see if they have a loop system where or other hearing support technology available to you. Often you can call in advance and then reserve a headset and enhance your experience that way. Also, you may have seen in the news that the laws regarding hearing aids are really being revamped, and very soon over-the-counter hearing devices will be available, and it will not be thousands of dollars on a prescription anymore. But you'll be able to buy a very effective, lower cost system in many cases. Accessibility and safety at home. My mother is 94, and this is something that we're beginning to grapple with. She lives independently, but it's growing more difficult for her to hear the phone or the doorbell. So one really nice comprehensive system is created by Sonic Alert. There are other systems, but this one is one that many people I know rely upon, and it's modular. So you can have a doorbell alert system, the phone system alert, smoke and CO2 transmitters, so that they are not a smoke signal in itself, but they are basically repeating the sound of your smoke system to the alert system, so that as you see in the picture, you would actually see the word smoke, or you see the word phone, or you see the word door, to let you know what needs to be attended to. I wanted to find a photograph I had taken in the hotel, but I couldn't find the photograph. But I have seen in hotels that they will have bed shaker alarms, that when you're staying in that hotel, you can request the use of that, so that when you need to get up in the morning, you will have technology to help you with that. But what about closed captions and other accommodations? Are they required everywhere? Well, back in the 1980s, of course, we passed the ADA, American Disabilities Act, but there are definitely limitations to that. Buildings that are older did not need to be upgraded. Even TV, which in general needs to be closed captioned, religious programs were exempt from that. All the Torah websites are really exempt. There are very few regulations regarding internet at this point. So if you're trying to watch Shiram or other classes online, you will probably have a difficulty finding ones that are captioned. In general, religious organizations are exempt from ADA restrictions. So how do you gain access to Torah in shul or school or online? Well, of course, the OU has Our Way, and they provide all sorts of supports and programs. And most recently, you may have attended an Our Way Purim Megillah reading with a beautiful PowerPoint presentation to support that. As I mentioned, the ADA, there is a leader in the U.S. Jewish community, Shelley Christensen, who really focuses on accessibility issues, all kinds of, for individuals with all kinds of disabilities, called From Longing to Belonging. And then I want to talk a little bit about an initiative here that we started at the CJE. Jewish Advocates for Deaf Education has a captioning initiative. And this was really brought about by one woman's self-advocacy. And I really want you to take this to heart and realize that you can change the community that you are in. One of the local organizations was hosting a presentation of a Yanina Mizrahi video. And she really wanted to be able to go to the event and access the video just like everyone else in the community. And she came to Yael, and Yael put together a work group, and we put our heads together. How could we make this video accessible to this woman who is hard of hearing? And what we concluded was that we needed to learn how to caption. And so with a tremendous amount of help from the technology department at Gallaudet University, we did learn the basics of captioning. And now we've captioned dozens and dozens of Torah videos, short ones, long ones, live ones, online classes, bar mitzvahs, all kinds of things in our community have now been captioned through the captioning initiative. And if you're interested in learning more about that, just contact me and I would love to talk to you or your friends or neighbors about how they could do that. Currently, we are in a conversation with Torah Anytime, which is the undisputed leader in online Torah accessibility. That is just access to Torah, not accessibility in the deaf context. So we are talking to them, and we're hopeful that in the next number of months, we will caption more videos, and they will make a separate page for those videos. But as it stands right now, you can go on Torah Anytime, and you can look at the language section, and there are some videos that are marked language ASL, and if you're ASL fluent, you can enjoy those. I would suggest that you could look at videos by Rabbi Orlovsky and Rabbi Shmuel Silber, because many of those now are captioned as well. I would also encourage you to advocate for your own desires and write to Torah Anytime or other video posters or creators and ask them to make the videos accessible by adding closed captions. And that's something that's very doable and we can help you to do that. As I mentioned, we have an accessibility document that really guides you through the nitty gritty, and it really is nitty gritty of how to make your virtual meetings and presentations accessible. Certainly, turning captions on in PowerPoint is one, but as I mentioned, there's RCC, remote conference captions, and many other strategies as well, particularly turning on captions in Zoom meetings without a human caption. Here is our contact information. Now that we've connected through technology, we'd love to talk to you more personally. Here's my contact information and yes. So do you have any specific questions or challenges around connecting with others or connecting with Tora that maybe I could brainstorm with you or look for a solution for you? I'd love to hear what's worked for you or what's really not working for you. Yes, one participant mentions that there's often someone signing for the Shmuel Silber in Baltimore in the Sherem online. That's right. Many of his Divrei Torah are captioned in live in his synagogue, and we've had a strong relationship with them over the last few years, captioning many of his classes. Someone else asks, can I estimate when over-the-counter less expensive hearing aids will be available? Will the best latest technology advances hearing aids be available over-the-counter? I am definitely far from an expert in that area. I would suggest you talk to your audiologist. I would suspect that the most cutting edge sophisticated technologies might not be available over-the-counter at first, but I do think that they will, that good solid options will be coming online in the next few months. Someone else comments that many Zoom presenters do not position themselves to see their lips. I think that's a great, I think that's a great piece of information. And I think that we will be adding that actually to our accessibility document. We try to give advice to hosts of what they can do to make their presentations most accessible. And that's something that we really don't talk about in that document. So thank you for that suggestion. Let me ask you a question. For those of you who are deaf or hard of hearing, do you have any special strategies that you use when you go, for example, to the doctor or you go shopping? I know, you know, the ADA requires businesses that are open to the public and other public accommodations to make reasonable accommodations, but that does not usually mean hiring an interpreter because it is cost prohibitive. And so many doctors rely either on technology, like the one that I mentioned, Live Transcribe or Otter, where people are using speech to text on their phones or simply writing messages back and forth. Yes, someone asked, did I mention voice to text apps? Yes, so again, Live Transcribe and Otter are two of the best, but Microsoft Office products all have speech to text in their accessibility options that you can set on your devices. And of course, there are many, many more. They are proliferating, and it's a question of which ones work best for you. So one person answers that, they go together with their spouse to the doctor. And of course, the doctor or other professional should be speaking directly to the deaf person, but taking someone else with you could be obviously a very helpful support. I guess too, if you see Torah classes online that are captioned and ones that I haven't mentioned or websites that I haven't mentioned, I would love it if you sent it to me. We do try to compile a list of captioned Torah videos to be able to share with people. So if you spot something out in the wild, we'd love to know about it. Okay, thank you very much for spending this time with me and connecting with us. Oh, someone adds, voice to text apps are helpful when sitting in a restaurant, probably in weddings too. I would love to use speech to text in a wedding. That someone mentioned that podcasts don't have the visual. That is absolutely a challenge as there's so many Torah podcasts and other podcasts of interest. One thing that you can do, and this you can do on Torah Anytime as well, Torah Anytime audios and many podcasts can be downloaded. The audio can be downloaded. Then it is really a simple matter, and I can help you with this, to change it from an MP3 format, which is audio only, to an MP4 format, which is visual. And even though there is no visual, you can still change it to that video format. And then you could upload that to YouTube and it will caption it. Now, the more Torahic language, the more Hebrew, the more Yiddish, the more Aramaic that's in it, the more Yinglish that's in it, it will become rife with errors. But in context, chances are you will be able to understand it. But that is a way that you can access really anything on Torah anytime or any podcast, is to download the file and then change it to an MP4 file. And again, I'm happy to help you with that. And then upload it to YouTube. And then it, for free, will use its very powerful software to caption it. And again, that's something that I can help you with. We have very detailed instructions of how to add closed captions to YouTube videos. Someone asks, are phone possibilities available for Torah study for elderly who do not use Zoom and are not tech savvy? Thanks so much. Well, certainly there you could use, you know, all of the video relay services or your traditional state, Maryland, or whatever state you live in, relay system to learn with someone over the phone. And if that's something that you'd like to work on together, I'm sure that Yael and I would be happy to try to make that work for you. Someone else mentions that I noticed that closed captions on TV often incorrectly spelled words, sounded out only, and usually skip difficult words or names that are exactly what I'm trying to understand. Are there improvements being made? Well, that is the $64,000 question. So the answer is, there are advocacy groups, and if you are on social media, there are Facebook groups really dedicated to advocacy around accuracy in closed captioning, particularly for news shows and things like that, but other shows as well. As I say, technology is changing rapidly. There are speech text programs now that as you speak, you can see it's self-correcting. You know, it'll start out, I'm saying good Shabbos, and it's writing good Shabbos. But after a few repetitions, it catches on that I'm not saying good Shabbos, I'm saying good Shabbos. And it actually backs up and corrects it to good Shabbos. So both in a general context and in a moment by moment context, the captions are getting better. But this is why it's so critical for us to connect with volunteers who are willing to correct the captions for Torah videos. Because as I always say, a hearing Jewish person can listen to a new Devar Torah any moment of their lifetime and many, many lifetimes over. There's that much Torah accessible, recorded, accessible because it's recorded. However, for a person who requires closed captions, it is very difficult to find new Torah all of the time. And so that's something that we are really, really working on. But yes, absolutely, there are many misspelled words. We actually run a blooper contest where we have our volunteers send in the most ridiculous bloopers that they've seen in videos. And sometimes they're really not just embarrassing, but really disrespectful and unfortunate. So yes, I'm afraid that is a downside to captions right now in 2022, but we hope that soon it will see a big improvement. Someone mentioned that KMTT is another Torah, Divrei Torah. Can that poster clarify, does that mean that is closed captioned? KMTT, are those captioned? I'd love to hear about that. Well, we want to once again thank the OU for this opportunity. We will again send out all those materials in the next day or two. And if there's something else that we can help you find or a question we can answer, we'd love to try.
Well, I want to thank Yael and Martha for an amazing presentation. I think we all learned a lot. And if nothing else, even just to be more sensitive and aware when you're communicating. So we want to thank both of you. The recording will go out later. Jan, Mar, I know that there's a handout we have for the recording. So, and I'm hoping that that has your contact info in it. Okay, just got everybody just saw a thank you. Okay, so I'm sure there'll be plenty of those. This was extremely helpful. So next week we'll be continuing spirit. You'll be getting an email later, and we're going to be talking. Okay, today we were on the ears. On next week, it just happens to be we'll be hearing from one of our doctors from New York Presbyterian here in Queens, and he'll be speaking about eyes as we age. So that will be next week. The registration will be in today's email. Wait, I just saw a bunch of things on the chats. I just want to make sure there's. Oh, seems to be just a lot of compliments. Okay, very good. Okay, we are happy to make these presentations. We know that they're very, very helpful. And thank you so much. As I said, you will get the recording later, and that will have the contact info. So if you didn't get it here from the chat, don't worry about it. Thank you, Martha, and thank you, Yael, and thank you, everybody. Have a great day, have a great week, be healthy, be safe. As we know, it seems COVID hasn't quite left. So everybody, you know, whatever the recommendations are in your area, just keep it all up. Okay, thank you so much. We'll see you again next week. Take care.